Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Our Old Testament reading for this day, found recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and the first few verses are the basis for our meditation this morning. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good news, lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle for this day found recorded in Peter's first epistle, the third chapter, as follows. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent and be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. It may be of an assist to you to have your bulletin, your worship folder open either to the gospel for today or to about page 11 where there is an outline of today's message for you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, are you ready? You ready for Christmas? There's no doubt Christmas is coming soon. I mean, it's all over the place, out on the streets, in the stores, the decorations. The calendar tells us it's only a little over 3 weeks away, 3 weeks, in fact, from today. Many people have sent out their Christmas cards, and we've gotten a few already. And then there are those gifts that we should get for our family and our friends. And really, if we participated in Black Friday and survived it, we kind of feel like we've got it made. And we're all so busy planning how in the world we're going to celebrate Christmas this year. Now, it's wise to think about these things already a few weeks in advance, but it is even more wise to think about the real meaning of Christmas already in this season of Advent. See, that's why we have a season like this. Advent means coming. It refers to the coming of God's Son into the world in the person of the babe of Bethlehem. And so during Advent, we are preparing for the most important arrival and for the most important birth in the history of the world. Unless we approach Christmas with this in mind, I'm just afraid that Christmas is not going to have very much meaning for us at all. We're not going to find any real joy in it, I'm afraid. For the right preparation for the Lord's coming includes repenting, using God's word, and helping others to prepare. So we have a number of suggestions to offer you this morning as we are sitting here 3 weeks before Christmas, and as you prepare for that special day. The first one's going to sound a little bit strange, I'll admit it, but it's a vital part of every spiritual preparation and celebration. Repent. There it is. Now, maybe you remember who's referred to in our text. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." This points, of course, to John the Baptizer, about whom our gospel speaks today. And the theme of his message as he prepared the people of his day for the ministry of Jesus Christ was repent. And so to prepare yourself for Christmas properly, let me say to you, repent. But repent of what? The prophet says, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." Here's what these words mean for us during these weeks before Christmas. Build a straight road through your valleys of indifference, through your mountains of prejudice, through your rough places of hypocrisy. You see, my friends, it's our indifference, our prejudice, our hypocrisy that keeps us from properly celebrating Christmas. So this year, repent of these sins and any others which may be burdening you. You know what they are. God knows what they are. And in that way, you will make your path straight. That is, you will make your heart clean and your conscience clear. Then you will enjoy Christmas to the full. There's something else you might repent of, too. A little girl touched on it one night as she was saying her bedtime prayers. She was used to end her prayers with always the Lord's Prayer. But this one night she had a kind of a lapse of memory when it came to the fifth petition. And instead of saying, "Forgive us our trespasses," she said, "Forgive us our Christmases." This might be the way for some of us to pray too, as we remember some of our past celebrations of this holy day. Now, as a rule, we don't like to think about sin in connection with Christmas. We'd rather think of joy and happiness. Sin, if you have to mention it all, is for the season of Lent. But we shouldn't be talking about things like that during Christmas time. However, we have to have a personal conviction of sin, of our own sin, if Christmas is really going to amount to anything for us at all. For example, a declaration of peace between two warring nations isn't going to mean anything to somebody who never knew there was a war going on. In the same way, the angel's message unto you is born a Savior is not going to mean much to a person who feels no need of a Savior because he has no sense of sin. So I hope you recognize the fact that you are a sinner, and like myself, a great sinner. And then repent and look to the babe of Bethlehem for forgiveness. When you do that, you can be absolutely sure of God's forgiveness. Just listen to what he says in our text. "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." You see, my friends, that little baby, some 33 years later, gave his life on a cross and thereby made full and complete atonement for our sins, for all sins. So when you take the step of repentance, you take the first basic step in preparing for Christmas. That's number one. But there are some more steps. The next has to do with the Word of God, which is the most important thing in the world and in your life, whether you realize it or not. Don't lose sight of it in the midst of your pre-Christmas busyness. Too often when life becomes hectic, when we get kind of carried away and caught up in things, it's the Word of God that has to go first. For instance, we may usually have family devotions, but now it's such a busy time of the year, we'll decide we're going to drop them maybe till after the first of the year. Or there's so many things to do, so many affairs to attend, so many jobs that need to get done, that we'll just skip worship. Or we're just so tired from holiday preparations and parties that we'll simply stay home and get some rest. After all, we'd probably fall asleep during the sermon anyway, right? So why go? Don't tell me you haven't thought that. Now, why is it that the Word of God is the first thing that has to be cut? Why not cut out something else? Some of that shopping or partying or even cleaning. Now, I know cleanliness is very important. In fact, it is said to be next to godliness. But notice, it is next to godliness. God's word still has the priority. So when preparing for Christmas, put the Word of God first at all times. Never cut it out of your schedule, ever, for any reason. If anything, step it up during these weeks, because Christmas is a religious holiday regardless of what some people may make of it. Only if you have your sights spiritually focused will you get the real meaning of Christmas. Only then will it mean something to you, and only then will you be prepared for the greatest day of the year. Let's look at two people in the Bible and their preparations. First, the innkeeper in Bethlehem. He was neither expecting Jesus nor prepared for him, was he? Oh, wasn't that he hadn't made preparations? He had. Great crowds were expected because of the census. And that meant money in his pocket like never before. And it also meant seeing old friends once again, too. But as for being ready for an emergency, for instance, for a woman with child, well, there just wasn't any room for her. Regardless of the circumstances, too bad, how sad. For that reason, chances are pretty good that he never, ever got to see the babe of Bethlehem. And that he never learned to know him as the Savior of the world. You see, he just wasn't prepared spiritually at all. The second one we want to look at is Simeon. Now, this man is waiting for the Christ child for a long time. In fact, it had been revealed to him by special revelation that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so every day he woke up, he was thinking that this might be the day. And each day he went to the temple in faith and hope. And lo and behold, what a beautiful Christmas he finally had as he took the Christ child in his arms, knowing him to be the Savior. Simeon had prepared for Christmas, and as a result, he experienced a tremendously joyful Christmas. How about you? Are you prepared? Are you really? Are you getting ready the proper way? Here's another suggestion. How about helping others to prepare for Christmas? You can do it. Help them to get into the mood, into a better understanding of Christmas by always sending Christian Christmas cards. Not just a card with a jolly old Santa Claus or a snowman or a candy cane or an evergreen tree, but a card with meaning in the picture and with depth in the message. Be a witness to Christ in all your actions. Also in your Christmas mail, you can do it. And besides sending Christmas cards, I'm sure you're thinking of Christmas gifts for your friends and your family members. And we would say, that's only right. But here is a suggestion I have for you, which you might incorporate into one or more of your gifts. Give a part of yourself. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, "The only gift is a portion of thyself." One Christmas, an 11-year-old girl gave her mother a number of small packages, each one neatly wrapped up. In one of those packages, there was a slip that said, "Good for two room cleanings." She knew it needed to be done. Her mother could claim those at any time. In another package, there was a slip that said, "Good for two flower bed weedings." Ooh, that sounds good. You see, the little girl had never heard of Emerson, but she had heard of Jesus Christ. And like Jesus in his gift to us on that very first Christmas, she put a portion of herself into the gift. A business girl did much the same when unexpected expenses ruined her Christmas budget. She gave gifts which were time credit slips and which her friends could cash in at their convenience. For example, she gave a young couple slips entitling them to leave their baby with her over two different weekends so they could go places and do things. She gave her nephew a slip which said that he could use her car to take a vacation trip. Now, that's trust, isn't it? For sure. She gave an elderly shut-in friend who was going blind 5 slips, each one of them good, for a half-hour read-aloud session to keep them in touch and to keep their minds active. You see, the best gifts are gifts which include a part of yourself, the giver. Besides giving special gifts to your friends and family members, how about a special gift for your Savior, as the wise men did? Actually, you ought to have Jesus' name at the top of your shopping list. You really should. Oh, and I know it may be that your gift to him might be a sizable gift to church or to charity, or perhaps in keeping with your means, it might be a small gift to one of those causes. Or your visit, or rather your gift may be a visit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to a friend or a neighbor who is lonely or shut in. Give them a word of Christian comfort and encouragement. Remember what Jesus said. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me. Keep that in mind. Whatever your gift might be to Jesus Christ this Christmas, let it be something special. Let it be something that has you in it. Something that involves a sacrifice. Now, in this message so far, there has been one thing I've been trying to say, and I don't know if I've been all the dear successful in getting it across to you folks. Let me try again by telling you a account from Lawrence Houseman's autobiography. His play, The Nativity of Christ, was in rehearsal. And they had it all set up. At one point, all the stage lights were to be turned off except for one, which was to be spotted on the Christ child in the manger to denote him as the light of the world. Okay. The effect would be tremendous. It would speak volumes, even though there were no words involved. However, when that point was reached in the play, the man in charge of lighting not only turned off all of the stage lights, but also the light pointing to the manger as well. So there was total darkness on stage. You couldn't see anything. And at that moment, a shrill voice was heard throughout the theater. Hey, you switched off Jesus. What I've been trying to say to you this morning is this. Don't switch off Jesus, either now or at Christmas time, because he is the Almighty Son of God, the Savior of the world, our personal Savior and Redeemer. Keep him always at the center of your preparation, and you will have him always at the center of your celebration. May God grant that to all of you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting with him. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-4869. 736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.